the same.
Fine. So we're continuing in Simon Kuf Sadiches. We're going to talk now about the din of Beis Hastarim and specifically teeth. The Gemara says on Samach Vav Amud Beis. Amar Ravin bar Rebbe Ada Amar Rebbe Yitzchak Maisa v'shevchasa shal Rebbe. There is an episode with Rebbe's shevcha. She tav lavi also. She went to the mikvah and then she came out of the mikvah. V'nim salah etzem chotzeit bein shineha. And after she left the mikvah, she found that there was a bone that was forming a chatzitza between her teeth. V'tzricha Rebbe tefila cheres, and Rebbe required that she go to the mikvah again after removing the problematic chatzitza. Okay, so this is just an example to reflect the point that the Gemara established earlier, that when it comes to Beis Hastarim, even though you don't require Bias Mayim Mamish, it has to be Raila Bias Mayim. You have to be able to have water go through the Beis Hastarim, even if water doesn't physically do it, called Raila Bila, Ein Bila Ma'akeva. So this din about Kalarai, they require Raila Bia, that's a Machlokas Rishonim, is that a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. Tosfos in Kedushin and Daf Kaf Hei Amud Beis, Tosfos Kaf Hei Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Kolo Rai assumes that Rai Lebias Mayim is a din d'oraisa, and Tosfos presents as a source for that the pasuk V'rachatz es Kol Bisaro B'mayim. V'rachatz es Kol Bisaro, coming to include any area in the body, including Beis Hasarim, and Tosfos assumes on that basis that the din of Ra'i Lebias Mayim is a din d'araisa. Just to note, that seems a little bit different than the presentation of the Tosas Harash and Argamar here in Nida. Tosas Harash here has a line that Pa'amim Nechnas Mayim. The Tosas Harash doesn't quote a pasuk. So there's a mashmos that it is a din d'araisa, but there's no pasuk per se, at least that the Rosh quotes. The Chachmei Sfard, there in the Gemara and Kedushin, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, they all assume that we're talking about a din derabanan. V'rachatz es b'sarah b'mayim only includes that which is begaloi, but that which is hidden is not bechlal that pasuk. Okay. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim. Are we talking about a din d'oraisa? Are we talking about a din d'rabbanan? And most Rishonim, Rabbi Morgenstern points this out in his analysis on page Shinun, most Rishonim seem to assume that we're talking about a din d'oraisa. The Me'iri in Ar Sugya Nida Samach Vav Amud Beis has the following suggested distinction. The Maisa, the Gemara presented of Shevchasa Sharebi, was with a bone. So is that the Dafka? Is there some significance to bone as opposed to other forms of Chatzitza in the teeth? So the Me'iri has the following line. So he writes, Zeh Shebi Arnu Shebeis Astarim Sar Shehei Rai Lebi Asmayim. Then ena rai lo asala tefila, that din that you require rai lebi esmayim, dafka b'davashi makpedes alav, that's only something that would be makpedes. She'ein beis hastarim le'inyan chatzitza, ra'oi lavo, le'inyan chatzitza rai lavo chamor mimakam agali. So the din of beis hastarim is no more chamor than the din of makam agali. The makam agali, a chatzitza, is only a problem maker a din if there's a kapeda. So beis hastarim also is only a problem if there's a kapeda. V'im kain, says the Me'iri, etzem shebein hashinayim atam mefarish ihi makpedas. So the mice of shechasa sherebi was with an etzem, a bone, and a bone is something that someone would be makped on not to walk around with a bone stuck between their teeth. That's normal that a person is going to be makbe, not to have a bone between their teeth. Umitoch kachani mora, says Meiri. Based on this, I pass an halacha lemaisa. Umaruba shebasar shebasoch hashinayim ein derech lahakbe alav kolkach. that a bone is worse than meat. People don't care so much if they have meat stuck between their teeth. Ve'en chotzeitz. And therefore, if a person has meat between their teeth, that's not a chatzitza. Afal pi shegedolei mefarshim nirin kecholkin ba. Even though the gedolei mefarshim, meaning the Ravid, disagrees, the Ravid writes in Bali Nefesh, as does the Smag that the Beis Yosef quotes, im nimsa b'nei and basar o peru in chotzitzin, that if you have meat or crumbs between teeth, that constitutes a chatzitza. So the Miri says no. He says that it's only something which you're makbid on. People are makbid on bones, they're not makbid on meat. Even though the other classic Rishonim do not have this distinction of the Meiri, Rav Avadia points out on page Kuf Aleph that he found a Chuvas, I believe it was Maramim Chabiv, that says that this distinction between a bone and basar. Rav Avadia says, even though it's true that most Rishonim don't have the chilek of the Meiri, even though he found another Rishon in the Meiri's camp, but Rav Avadia paskins, that's all on a lechachila level. But b'di'eved, it's lechachila, you're not supposed to go into the mikveh with any chatzitza between the teeth or whatsoever. B'di'eved, if you went to the mikveh and you found afterwards a piece of meat, the case he's talking about is where it's a suffix. You're not sure if there's a piece of meat there. You found a piece of meat sometime later. We'll talk about the details of this. But maybe the meat came later. Maybe it was there before. Maybe it's not really meat. So anytime you have a suffix to add to the mix, Ravadia thinks that Bidi Evid, after you went to the mikveh, and you don't know whether the meat was necessarily there at the time you went to the mikveh, and you have shitas rishonim that meat's not a chazitza, you could be mekel. Okay, but definitely on a lechachila level, you have to check that there be nothing between the teeth, and that's what the Mechaber paskins here in Sif Kavav. Sorry, we'll start with Sif Kaf Dalet. Just rearranging things here so I can put the Shulchan Aruch more comfortably in front of me. In Sif Kaf Dalet, Tzricha Lachsos Shineha Shelo Yehei Behem Davar Chotzeitz. A woman, before going to the mikvah, has to pick her teeth to make sure that there's no Davar Chotzeitz in her teeth. She'im tavla v'nimsa shum davar davik behem lo'asla tefillah. Because if a woman goes to the mikvah and finds something afterwards, like the ma'isa shechasa sharebi, then the tefillah would have to be redone. Okay. So usually the default recommendation is that a woman should use dental floss before going to the mikvah to make sure there's nothing between her teeth. The problem is sometimes that can make things worse. A dental floss could get stuck, and if you have a piece of dental floss stuck that you can't get out, that potentially is worse than not using it at all. So there has to be some knowledge as to whether a woman has a tendency to get dental floss stuck, and whether it's a more effective tool or yatsa scharo befseido, and that might be a personal decision. Usually it's effective, but for some people, it could get stuck and potentially make things worse. Okay. Then the Mechaber quotes what the Rush has in the end of his Hilchos Nida as Yesh Noagos. The second part of Sifkos Dalet, V'yesh Noagos, Shelo Lechol Basar B'yom Lechton L'Beis HaTfila. So there's a minhag that women should not eat meat on the day of their tefillah, mimnei shehu nichnas bein hashinayim yosef b'machal acher, because meat has a tendency to get stuck between the teeth more than other foods. The alpha pisha bodkos v'chozas hashinayim, even though the woman is going to check her teeth before going to the mikveh and she'll use dental floss if that's appropriate, or a toothpick, or whatever she uses. You still are worried that maybe you won't get everything out. This is before dental floss, with the more rudimentary techniques. And she won't realize that she still has the stock. So the Mechaber writes, that is a minag yafa. The way the Rosh quotes it is that he saw this practice being nahug by nashim kcheiros, righteous women, who would not eat meat the day of Tevila. In the Sefer Pischei Das, he quotes that meat is lavdavka. Meat is a classic example of something that could get stuck between the teeth. But corn or popcorn or other foods that will easily get stuck between the teeth, presumably, he thinks, or he quotes, should be presumed, or subsumed rather, under the same edict, that you shouldn't eat something that's going to likely get stuck between the teeth. Okay. And then, the Rush there in the end of Hilchas Nida quotes the second minug. Minug number one is not to eat meat the day of the Tevila, the day preceding the Tevila. And minug number two is not to eat anything between the Chafifa, between the Rechitza, and the Tevila, to avoid a potential Chatzitza once you've already started the preparations to go to the Mikvah. And that's what the Ramah quotes here in the Haggadah and Sifkaf Dalet. The Ein Lalechol Bein Rechitza LeTevila, the second point of the minhag of the Rush, a woman should not eat between rechitza, between the chafifa, between the preparations, and tefillah. The ein lalasa kol yom kodem tefillah bebasek obenei rasher shava shalid bakba. That the Rama adds that not only should you be careful what you eat so as to avoid a chafifa between the teeth, you should be careful not to touch things that are likely to create chafifas on your hands. Okay, take a look at the Beir HaGra here in Sivkat and Kof Beis. The Gra on the first minute, the minute of the Mechaber quotes, the first part of the Rush, not to eat meat by Yom HaTfila. The Gaon says, Kamosha Kasav, the Periches Techulin, the Gemara in Kol HaBasar, Achal Basar, the Chulei, Perish HaRamba, Mishim Shenishar Basar Ben HaShinayim. So that din, that you're not allowed to eat milk after meat, the Rambam's reason, Machlokas Rishonim, but the Rambam's reason for the Chi of Hamtana between meat and milk is because of Basar Ben HaShinayim. We're concerned that there's going to be meat left between the teeth, and then you're going to eat milk right away, and that could potentially be a Basar B'chalav Derabanan problem. So you have to wait between Basar and Gvina because of Basar Ben HaShinayim, so says the Rambam. So what does the Gaon mean by quoting this din of Basar Ben HaShinayim in the context of Basar V'Cholav as an explanation for this minhag of the Rush, not to eat meat b'yom ha'tvila? So the Shari Tvila of Shlomo Zalman's nephew, Rav Stern, Simon Lamed Aleph, explains that just as we find in the Rambam's reasoning for the Chi of Hamtana between meat and cheese, that you can't properly clean out your teeth, and that's why we're concerned about Basar Bein HaShinayim. So that's a model for the concern over here, that because you're worried you won't be able to properly clean out your teeth from the meat residue, therefore avoid eating meat b'chlal b'yom ha'tevila. Okay. He also points out over there in the Shari Tvila that you might have argued there are different kinds of meat. So certain kinds of meat are going to get stuck in the teeth. But if you have chopped meat or some other ground meat, that's not going to get stuck between the teeth any more than any other food. So you might have argued that the minhag should only apply to types of meat or chicken which easily gets stuck between the teeth. So he quotes from his uncle, Rav Shlomo Zalman, that uncle through marriage, that there's a low plug, that the minhag extends to any kind of meat. Fine. Take a look at the Taz of Katan Cafe. Uminag Yafuhu, says the Taz, Upashut, She'im lo naga kein ein svichel akav etzvila v'shulze. So number one, this is a minhag, it's not likuva. So the minhag nashim sheiris is appropriate, is accepted by Klal Yisrael, but b'di'eved, if a woman forgot about this minhag, or didn't realize that she was eating meat, or did it absentmindedly, woman should not delay her tefila. It doesn't, just make sure that you clean the teeth properly and thoroughly. But if a woman, by mistake, violated this minhag, that's not a reason to delay going to the mikvah. Then the Taz makes a second point. U'b'shabbos v'yantiv ha-minhag sha'ochlin basar rak she'tizahir l'nakir b'yosar achrechen. Shabbos and yantiv, the minhag is to eat meat. What do you mean Shabbos v'yantiv? So this simple case potentially could be two cases. Case number one is if you do chafifa before Shabbos, for Moshe Shabbos tefillah, so then we're talking about eating meat over Shabbos. Or case number two, let's say you're going to the mikvah Friday night after you have the suda, particularly relevant when you make Shabbos early in the summer. So women may make Shabbos early, have the suda yantiv, suda Shabbos, and then go to the mikvah once it's dark, which is after she had the tefillah, after she had the suda. And sometimes that's a helpful way of being master lel tefillasa on a Friday night if you have a family and it would be apparent or suspicious that the mother is leaving at that hour Friday night. So sometimes it's earlier to easier to manage in the summer where people make Shabbos early. You can make Shabbos early, have the suda, and then finish the meal and go to the mikvah at that point. In that situation as well, the Taz says, the minhag is that women do eat meat. We dispense with this minhag and allow women to eat meat on Shabbos and Yontif. Even though the Shari Tefillah points out that there isn't necessarily chiv to eat basar on Shabbos. Even on Yontif, there isn't necessarily a chiyuv basar for women. That may be a discussion. Very arguably not. Nevertheless, because the norm is that people eat meat on Yontif and Shabbos, even if it's not an absolute chiyuv, so the minhag wasn't extended to that situation. And the Shari Tefillah quotes from Shlomo Zalman that even on Chol HaMoed, women can eat meat even the day of Leil Tefillah Purim in Yana Dioma. That's a machlokas haposkim. Rav Avadya has a richas about this. To what extent is basar integral to Sudas Purim? So there are many armekel as well. And I just saw that Rav Osner in the Shevet Alevi has that any Sudas mitzvah one could be makel about. In the Baal Shulchan, he has a discussion of Sudas Bris, Sudas Pidyon Ben. So maybe grounds there as well. Okay. So the Taz here is talking about minhag number one. Remember, there are two minhagim. Minhag number one that the Mechaber quotes is not to eat meat beyond Tfilasa. Minhag number two that the Ramah quotes from the same Rush is not to eat between the Chafifa and the Tfilah. So the Taz is commenting on the first minhag. Does this apply to the second minhag as well? Let's say you're going to the mikvah Friday night, and in our scenario that we discussed, you're making Shabbos early, so you're planning on having the Shabbos Suda between the Chafifa and the Tefillah. So is that permissible to eat meat in that situation as well? Sidrei Taras Sifkaton Memtes says there you should be Machmir. Why? Why is the second minhag worse than the first minhag? We're willing to be makel as far as the minhag of not eating yom tefilasa, but not the minhag of not eating between chafifa, not eating at all between chafifa and tefila. So Sidrei Taras says that you go to the mikvah l'al Shabbos, a woman should not eat at all before going to the mikvah. Why? To came and shu samach l'tefila, since we're talking about right before you go to the mikvah, shema lo tenakir yafa, worried that the woman is not going to clean her teeth properly, mitoch shemahuma lebesa, because she's in a rush to get home. So Meila, as far as the first Midag, not eating beyond Tfilasa, that's all day. So there, in the case, we have Chafifa on Friday, you go to the Mikvah Shabbos, so you could eat Friday night, they were not worried about Muhumma Labesa. But if you go to the Mikvah Friday night, between Chafifa and Tfila, there we are worried about Muhumma Labesa. Now, according to that concern, Siddur Tara should be Machmir even in the first case, in option two, meaning even right to, if you're going to the mikvah on Friday night, then you can't eat, shouldn't eat any meat before going to the mikvah that Friday night, for two reasons. Number one, the minhag of not eating meat beyond tefilasa. Number two, the minhag of bein rechitza l'tefila, and the reason of muhumma l'beisa would apply to both those situations. That's what the Siddur Tara says. So paskins the Badi Yashulchan in Sifkatan Kuf Peches, and the Biurim there, that a woman goes to the mikvah Friday night, she should not eat at all before going to the mikvah. However, the Shari Tvila is Mako, especially if a person has guests, a person has children at home, there's going to be a major embarrassment if a woman doesn't eat at all. So you're right. So just like the Taz says, you could be Mekel on Minhag number one, you could be Mekel on Minhag number two as well. So Paskins Rav Avadia, page Kuf Kaf Vav to Kuf Kaf Zayin. So Paskins Rabbi Willick. Rav Schechter raised the following question in a kind of agav way. He presented a global question, which is that if you have a minhag which was established due to a specific concern, and that concern doesn't exist anymore, do you still have to keep the minhag? So when it comes to Gzeir Derabanan, that's definitely not the case. Gzeir Derabanan, you need Gadol Mimenu. You need a bezdin of greater stature to uproot a gzeira derabanan, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore. Chachma b'minyan, sorry, but maybe that's not true for minhagim. If a minhag developed for a specific reason, maybe if the reason doesn't apply, the minhag doesn't have to be kept anymore. And one of the examples that he gave, musing as such, not lemaisa, was this minhag: the minhag of not eating meat biyama tefila. That's because Biyamin Kamonim, there wasn't as effective a way to remove meat particles as we have nowadays. Nowadays, we have dental floss. So maybe the reason doesn't apply the same way anymore. You could argue even nowadays, dental floss isn't always effective. And as you pointed out, sometimes dental floss can make things worse. But the more theoretical question he was asking was that, are there situations where a minhag developed for a certain reason, and the reason doesn't apply anymore, does it affect keeping the minhag? Okay. Just checking, and if someone could unmute themselves for a minute, is the audio okay? Do you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
I'll get over here.
Okay, any questions before we go on?
Nope.
Okay, great. So let's move on now to talk about other examples of Beis Hastarim, specifically about teeth, which was the Maisa Bishav Chaso Shel Revi. There's a Chachmas Adam in the end of Hilchas Nida, Klal Kuf Yutes Os Yudches, where the Chachmas Adam suggests that any cavity, even a permanent cavity, is going to be considered a chasitza. As the Bina, he explains in the Bina's Adam, because anything that's in your mouth or on your body simply for a medical reason, but you wouldn't want otherwise, is potentially a chatzitza. So if the Chachmas Adam was correct, then most women in the world could never go to the mikvah, because I don't know what the percentage is, but I imagine that the majority of the frum population has at least one permanent cavity. Does that seem like a reasonable assumption?
I think it's a pretty safe thing to say.
Yes, okay. So, lucky for most of us, and you know, Had the Chacham HaSadim lived in our time, I don't know if he would stick to the same position. I don't know how many people have permanent cavities in Vilna 200 years ago. I imagine not so many. But luckily, the vast majority of poskim disagree with the Chacham HaSadim, at least as far as permanent cavities. Now, Rav Moshe writes, Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Zayin Anaf Vav, Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Zayin Anaf Vav, that even the Chacham HaSadim may not have been machmir, may not have been referring to our kinds of cavities, because he's talking about a case of something which somehow prevents your normal activities. Either it creates pain, or it's visibly ugly, as something that a person, if not for the medical benefit, would be objectively makbid on. But Rav Moshe argues that even the Chacham HaSadim could acknowledge that our permanent cavities, which are crafted with significant precision and don't protrude and aren't noticeable unless you're looking deep into someone's mouth, don't interfere with anything that a person does, doesn't create tsar, isn't ugly, because no one would really notice them. So even the Chacham HaSadim would have to acknowledge that our chatzitzos, our permanent cavities, are not a chatzitza. The bigger issue is temporary fillings. So I meant permanent fillings, not permanent cavities. Sorry. What about temporary fillings? So Ramosha, the same tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tzadi Zayin, is mekel about temporary fillings. Even though you're going to remove it at some point, as soon as you remove the temporary, you're going to put it in permanent. So he says that's better than the classic case of Tabas and the Raivi. The case of a Tabas that you're going to remove in order to knead the dough. So number one, you're going to remove that potentially at any time. And number two, you're going to remove it yourself. Here, we're talking about number one, something that's in Beis HaStarim. Something in Beis HaStarim, the starting point is there's more to be makel about because according to some Rishonim, it's only a chatzitza derabanan. Anyway, but beyond that, here we're talking about a filling, that no one's going to remove on their own. You need the professional to remove it. And as soon as they remove it, they're going to put another one in its place. So for that reason, it's better than a tabas. And Ritzi Pesach Frank writes something similar as well. Har Tzvi Yerodeya Simen Kuf Samach Tes. Har Tzvi Yerodeya Simen Kuf Samach Tes. So he writes that since it's known to this woman that the tooth is always going to be covered, even though you're going to switch the temporary filling for a permanent filling, even if you end up switching it more than once, but that's considered Eina Makpedes, because as far as she's concerned, there's always going to be a filling there. And for that reason, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a temporary that's going to be replaced with a permanent, or whether it is a permanent. In the end of the Sefer, the back of the Sefer, Mari Cohen, Rabbi Reuben from Harnof, he quotes a brief line from, or word, from Chaim Kanievsky, that the Chazon Ish was machmir on temporary fillings. Now, there is some discussion in Poskim, is there a minimal threshold for how long the temporary filling needs to be in place so that it doesn't concern us? The Rav Yashiv in Kovetz Tshuvos Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi, Kovetz Tshuvos Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi, in a tshuva written to Rabbi Sinai Adler, who I believe was the Rav Rashi in Ashdod at one point, a Holocaust survivor who made it to Eretz Yisrael in his relative youth. And I remember him speaking at least on one occasion as a guest speaker in Kerem Yavne. I believe he lived in Mevesaret, near Mevesaret. So Rav Yashiv in this tshuva writes, he references a tshuva Kalkos Yaakov, that in order for something to not be a chatzitza, even if it's temporary, has to be there at least 7 days. Because that's one of the shitas in Hilchos Shabbos, that 7 days is the cutoff for Kesher Shel Kayama, at least there are banan. If you're going to make a knot that's going to last for 7 days, that is not a Kesher Shel Kayama. Even the Rabbanon. So that would be the basis for such a position that the minimal amount of time a temporary filling needs to be in is for 7 days. But Rav Yashiv doesn't subscribe to that himself. Rav Yashiv elsewhere is quoted as, well, Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Yashiv, the Shari Tfila quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, Simon Lamed Dalid, that they hold, and this seems to be the broader position among poskim, that in order to be makel on something temporary, it has to be there for at least 30 days. That may be the shiur of kasher shel kayama daraisa. How do you calculate the 30 days? So, Rav Stern quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that the ikar din, he thought that you calculate the 30 days from the day that you put in the filling. Meaning, if it's going to be in for 30 days, then that gives it a degree of permanence, and then you can be mekel it as not a chatzitza. But, as a matter of practice, he quotes, that Rav Shlomo Zalman thought you should be machmir to require a 30-day wait from the day of the tefillah. That when you go to the mikvah, because we're looking at the kapeda at the time that you go to the mikvah, so if it's going to be in for 30 days after you go to the mikvah, then that's considered eina makpedes. But he quotes this chap from Shlomo Zalman that as long as a woman is under the impression at the time that she goes to the mikvah that it's going to be there for 30 days, that's sufficient. So he says that a posek could tell the husband that he has to arrange that the wife be under the impression that the temporary has to be there for 30 days, but once she goes to the mikvah, then the husband can tell the wife, you know what, you can really go to the doctor earlier and have it removed earlier. But he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that b'shas hatzchak, you can be mekel as long as it's there for just 7 days. Pesach Das, page Shin Sadi Aleph, Kosim of Yashiv, who also said that you have to calculate 30 days from the day of Tefillah. So, Paskins Badei Shulchan, Sif Katan Kuf Ayin Tes. Even though, if the model is Kesher Shel Kayama, we really should be counting from the day it's put in, not the day you go to the mikvah. But the Badei Shulchan says that since anyway, some poskim are machmir on the question of temporary fillings, so at least you should be machmir to require 30 days from the day of tevilah. Rav Sternbach writes something which seems to be against the Eitzah that the Shari Tefillah quoted from Shlomo Zalman. Rav Sternbach in Chelek Aleph of Tshuvas Van Hagos, Simen Tav Kuf Ches Os Lamed Aleph, Simen Tav Kuf Ches Os Lamed Aleph, Rav Sternbach writes that when we talk about the shear 30 days, it has to be an honest shear. Meaning, if medically it's necessary to have the filling in for 30 days, the temporary filling in for 30 days, that's okay. But if medically it doesn't need to be there for that long, it's just that the dentist is overbooked, or he's going on vacation, and he can't schedule an appointment to come in to remove it earlier, so then Rav Sternbach thinks it's not so pushy to be mako, because there it doesn't really need to be there for 30 days, so maybe that's be'etzem, super temporary. And the other direction, Rav Avadya seems to be mekel across the board, even if you're only going to have the temporary in there for a short amount of time, he thinks that that's not a chatzitza regardless, and that's the mashmos of Rav Moshe as well. Rav Moshe doesn't provide a shear. Rav Moshe sounds like any temporary filling, as long as it's going to be replaced immediately with a permanent filling, is not a problem. Okay. Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak, Chelik Vav Simen Pei Vav, Chelik Vav Simen Pei Vav, has a tshuva about braces. So he writes that he thinks braces are comparable to fillings. And fundamentally, you can be mako for a few reasons. Number one, back to the Mordechai of Sakana, that there's going to be Sakana if you don't, you have to remove them when you're not supposed to, could create a Sakana. Especially Beis Hastarim. And it's a miyah of the body. So miyah, sakana, beis hastarim, he thinks it could be meko. Ramosha writes, chelek aleph simin sadivav. Since it's only a miyah, beis hastarim, may only be derabanan, trade derabanan, harosa lahakel ein limchos biyado. But he's not so excited. The Shari Tzvila says that one could distinguish between where you're only putting in the braces for cosmetic purposes and when you put it in for medical purposes. That if it's only for cosmetic purposes, it's hard to be mako if it's not cosmetically aesthetically pleasing, if it's not aesthetically pleasing now, because it's dafka ugly now. He says Rav Yashiv is maskim to that. If it's lerfua, there's more grounds to be mako. Although I think most orthodontists will tell you that any situation where they recommend braces is a rafua component, because there's some danger in not solving the situation. Okay, we're going to time out in 45 seconds. So let us just hang up and call back in. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great.
Is the same thing, or should we use a different link?
No, same link.
Okay, good. Everyone's here.
Okay, great. Okay, Revozner writes, Chelek Yud Simen Kuf Nun. A young woman with crooked teeth, and the only way to solve the problem is with braces, and it's going to be in there for a year and a half. So he writes that the woman with crooked teeth is Meguna Albaila, and we're very concerned that a woman should be attracted to her husband. So he says, Mikra Adin, anything that a woman wants under the current circumstances, even if in an ideal world she wouldn't want it, but it accomplishes a purpose here in her situation, especially Beis Hastarim, especially if he's going to be there for a long time. So at worst, it's a safek miyad makbid dirabanan, and you can't remove it even if you wanted to in the middle. And it's good for shalom bayis. So pashut adavar that you could be mako. Shevet Alevi chelagud simin kuf nun. And Rav Avadya also is mako page kuf memdalit, even if it's not lenoi, since you have no way of removing it, even if you wanted to. And even if it is lenoi, it's also medical, and there's a an overlap between what's lenoi and what's medical. Okay, if you look in Rabbi Forrest's book, he just points out that when it comes to braces, if a woman has braces and is going to go to the mikveh with the braces, you have to be very careful to clean everything thoroughly before the tefillah and make sure that there are no rubber bands there, or nothing separated, and that the wire ends aren't extending beyond where they should be. There's no wax there, etc. They have to make sure that there's nothing, none of the bells and whistles that go together with the braces that potentially could be a chatzitza, even if we're going to be mekel on the braces themselves. He points out that under certain circumstances there may be alternatives to braces that might be halachically preferable if they are medically warranted. Okay. The other discussion Poskim have are about dentures or false teeth. So the general achra of Poskim is that if you have permanent false teeth, permanent dentures that you can remove, that's not going to be chotzetz. If you have dentures that you remove on a regular basis, you remove it every night, so then most Poskim assume that that is considered a chatzitza, just like the tabas. It's something that you're going to remove at certain expected intervals. That would be a chatzitza. The Shari Tfila quotes in Simul Amibes as far as B'Shem Rishon Mazalman that maybe it's not chotzeitz, because if you're only removing them to clean them, even if a person was able to remove his natural teeth to clean, he'd do that also. So the fact that you remove them to clean them doesn't mean you're makbid, it's just a convenience. Okay, but the general consensus is that removable dentures would constitute a chatzitza. Minchazitza points out, as we mentioned a couple of shiurim ago, the Maisa Shahaya in one of our Batei Din, of someone who was tovil for Geiris and realized after the fact that she forgot to take out her contact lenses. The Minchas Yitzchak has a similar, responding to a similar Maisa Shahaya, Chelek Hei Simen Kaf Aleph, of a male ger who went to the mikvah and realized afterwards that he forgot to take out his dentures. Principle the same. You require another tefillah. He just points out that he doesn't think that you should say another bracha. Because mikra din, mikra din, it's rafoi, and things can get between it. So mikra din, it could be the tefillah was good, it might be sufficiently right, it'll be asmayim, so even though you should redo the tefillah, you shouldn't say a bracha the second time along. Okay, that's Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Hei, Simen Kaf Aleph. Okay, let's take a look now at Sif Kaf Hei in Shulchan Aruch. Im lo hidicha beis astarim ubeis hakimatim shala, if a woman did not clean out the beis astarim, or the folds of the body, v'nimsa behem dar v'chotzeitz, and she found a chatzitza there, lo alsa la tefila, tefila doesn't count. Vim lo nim salah dar v'chotzeitz, let's say she didn't do the proper preparations ahead of time, she didn't clean out the beis astarim properly, but she also didn't find a chatzitza. So then, alfa pishala badka kodem tefila, also la tefila, v'enodom la bedigas aguv v'chafiv v'sarosh. Then that situation, if a person didn't do chafifa, didn't do the requisite bedika beforehand, even if she didn't find the Dara Chotzeh, they have to go to the mikvah again. But if she just didn't clean out the Beis Hastarim, that's more kal, and as long as there's no chasis afterwards, she does not have to redo the tefillah. Okay, now Sif Kafav. Im lo badka koden tefillah bein shinaha velo Beis Hastarim shela. So women did not check between her teeth, did not check the Beis Hastarim. The achar tefillah nami lo badka. And she didn't check immediately afterwards either. In Sifkav, hey, we're talking about a woman checked right after she came out of the mikvah. Sifkav Vav, she didn't check then either. And then sometime later, Ajinis Aska Biksama Tafshilin, then she's in the kitchen, she's touching things. The Acher Kach Badka Masa Esamishina. And then a few hours later, she notices a bone between her teeth. Or Dabar Choseis Bein Staraha. So we don't know. Maybe the bone was there before she went to the mikvah. Maybe the bone was only lodged after she came out of the mikvah sometime later. So in that case, as a mechaber, tulina lekula, v'arminan debaser tefila ailuba. So then you have the right to be told and assume that the davar hachotzeitz came later. Okay, that's based on a rivet. However, look at the shachs of katan lama gimel. V'das harakeach ain't okay. Shakas of a seven shint yotas. So a woman went to the mikvah, she got out, she found meat between her teeth, and the rokeach required another tefillah. So the shach was in the rokeach that the maisa of shevchasla sharebi has no qualification. It doesn't say only if you found the basar b'shina immediately afterwards. There's no qualification. So that didn't could apply even if you found it later, even if nisaska b'ksamim u'b'tafshilin. And the shach says the Yesh Lahachmir, you should be Machmir like the Rokech against the Psach of Shulchan Aruch, that if a woman did not floss between her teeth, did not check for a chatzis even Beis Hastarim, even if you have what to be told it and afterwards, you should still be Machmir to require another tefillah. So Paskin's the Sidrei Taras of Katan Nun Beis. Sidrei Taras says, even though we're only talking about a Sveik of the Rabbanah, so Beis Hastarim is likely only Derabbanan. We have a suffix whether there's a Dabar Choseis there. So he notes that sometimes we're Machmir Hilchas Nida, even on a Bidi'evit situation of a Sabi Derabbanan, because Hilchas Nida is a Dabar Chamor. So we don't necessarily follow all the time all the Klali suffix. So he thinks that the Shach is justified, even though a Klali suffix maybe should have been Makel. But here, he thinks it's appropriate to be Machmir. So says the Aruch HaShulchan as well, Sivkatan and Zion, that Bifrat, that according to many we've shown him, if he saw a Beis Hastarim, maybe a Din D'Oraisa. So he thinks he should be Machmir, like the Shach, like the Rokeach, to require another Tefillah, even if there is a Tliya, even though you could have argued that the Etzam Bein Shinam is attributable to some later situation.
For the Mikkel Pinyin of the Shulchan Aruch, does that depend on what exactly was found in the woman's teeth? Meaning, like, if she only had pizza for lunch before she was Tavelis, and then after she was Tavelis, she had steak, and she finds something from the pizza, then would we still be Mikkel?
That's a good question. Would we still be... I'm sorry, be Mikkel or be Machmir?
I'm saying, like, would we still be Mikkel? I mean, because my understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is that, in general, when you find food, it's like, maybe that came from when she ate after she was Tavelis, so it wasn't there to be a chatzitza. But if it's something where just the Metzius is, I can see that it seems like it was from the meal she had before she went to the mikvah, therefore it was probably still there by the time she was actually Tavelis, then what I would think is maybe we wouldn't be Mikkel.
Are you talking about a case where she ate meat before and she only ate pizza afterwards?
Yeah, I want to use pizza for lunch because she can't eat meat before. She had pizza for lunch and she found a piece that was evidently from that meal even after she had her fleshy dinner.
After she went to the mikvah?
Right.
So she went... She didn't eat meat all day, then she went to the mikvah, and then she went home and had a fleshik meal, and found something between her teeth and she doesn't know what it is?
But even stronger, that it seems like it was not from her fleshik meal, instead it was from the meal that she ate before she went to the mikvah.
So forget about the details. If it seems like it's something that was there before the mikvah, then you'd have to be machmir. We're talking about where there's no indication one way or another.
Right.
But I thought you were asking the other direction, which may be true, that even if you're machmir like the shach, that you find the davar chotzeitz, even if you're machmir like the shach, that you find the davar chotzeitz ben shina afterwards, but if you find a piece of meat, and you know that she ate meat later, and she didn't eat meat before, so then it could be even the shach would agree that you could be mekel on.
I mean, it would, like the rabbi's saying, it'd probably be the same principle. Why wouldn't the shach be mekel?
I'm saying the shach, I think, would be mekel, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, right. It could go, presumably, in either direction. Fine. But where it could go, but in a case where we don't know, and it's a Savigah Shakal, even this Aska B'Tashilim, the Mechaber is Mekel, and Rav Avadya says that for Sfardim, they definitely pass on the Mechaber that in the Safik, and don't bother me with the Shach. But the Shach and the Sidri Tar and the Aruch HaShulchan are Machmir. So that does seem to be the achra of we'll call it Ashkenazi poskim, not like Rav Avadya's mechaber, that you have to be machmir in the case if you didn't do a proper check of the teeth before, and you found a chatzis afterwards, even if there's what to be told on it, that you would have to be machmir. Again, that's where you didn't clean. If you did clean properly before the mikvah, and then you went home and you ate something, and then you find something in your teeth, then there's nothing to be concerned about. Right, but I'm just looking at Rabbi Forth's book over here. He quotes to one half of Usher's point, if you could identify, even if you brush your teeth beforehand, but you find something after you went to the mikveh that clearly was something you ate before the tefillah, so then you have to go to the mikveh again. Okay. Fine, so let's stop here. So I'm hoping that we'll be back in person on Wednesday.